somebody to say, I feel a breakthrough coming your way. Tell them it's a mighty move of God and it's going to change your day. Come on, clap your hands right there.
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to My Father's Table with Pastor Kevin T. Scott. Today, we're going to talk about the community of God, how it all interacts, ties in what we should be doing with one another, loving each other as God has loved us. We're going to be coming out of Acts 15. I would suggest you read forward so that you can keep up. In the Bible, what is the role of community in ethical formation and decision making? In what ways does the message challenge contemporary American life and culture? These are the things that we're going to be talking about. You can reach us at 240-362-7552 if you have any questions. We are hosted by KingScottRadioTV.com. And God's call for the Israelites to become the people of God is the starting point for Old Testament ethics. God's promise, "I will make you my own people. I will be your God." Exodus 6:7. Is it also a call to form a new society or community? It is the basis way of life in response to the gratitude to the loving and merciful God who gathered them together and protect them and sustain them. While Israel is compared at its Mount Sermon, God's points to who he has done and what he has done to give them life, to give them promise. In explaining that particular passage, God gave us promise. He told us things that he would do. Are we not supposed to do that for one another? As he said, "Love ye one another as I have loved you." Now that is in the Old Testament, in Exodus. But here in the New Testament, we talked about us helping one another. Is it that the church of today refuses to be of service to each other? Some get along, some don't. Where does that come from? We are, therefore, supposed to be of service to one another. We're supposed to help each other up this road that leads to heaven. Today, it seems to be conflict within the church. This person wants to do it that way. Another person wants to do it their way. Can't we all just get along and do it God's way? The Bible serves as a roadmap as to how we are supposed to react towards one another. There should be no big I's or little U's, or your project should be no more important than someone else's. If in time we learn to work together, it does fulfill the promise of God as he has helped us. Though it makes sense, oftentimes it works against one another. You have this group over here, you have that group over there, and the communications in between is poor, weak, and feeble. We as Christian brothers and sisters want to feel a part of something much bigger, much larger than ourselves. That's what makes the whole system work in its totality. Too many times we find ourselves infighting, disagreeing on simple things, which direction, what's best, as we learn to move in unison with God. The book is designed for us to be a team of believers in the structure and the ethical behavior of God. It sets the standards. And if we go by those standards, we find ourselves and our lives a lot less complicated. But the question remains, how do we get there? Oftentimes, the emotional pull on one another seems to prevail. The guidelines that we set for each other are different and blurry. Should leadership guide the way? And if there's an issue with leadership, should it be dispelled by simply following the word of God? That's what I think makes it complicated. Now, there's a possibility that I could be wrong, but the Bible gives a description of that leadership. And it tells you, seek not to have aught with your brother or your sister. Seek to be in agreement with a direction that's for the glory of God, not each other. As we go forward, we can see the issues that Moses had. He went up on the mountain to have a conversation, to get direction from God. And he brought those directions back down. And when he came down, he was very disappointed with what the people were doing. They all of a sudden began to follow false prophets, things that they developed within themselves and not listening to the word of God. And then Moses himself got very frustrated and discontent in what the people were doing. Why should then some be left out and some are put in? There's no old regime or new regime. It's the regime of God, what he wants, the direction that he has left for us to follow and to obey. Now, we also know the realistic side is that the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. And in our flesh, we find the fault. We find the conflict, the anger, the downright disrespect in some cases. These are the things that we must overcome. This particular Bible study is centered around community, us learning to get along. In some cases, to tolerate one another's ways. Your ways should not be my ways, but our ways should be in line with what the King says, what Jesus Christ says. And if we stay on that track, there's peace, comfort, harmony, all wrapped up into something wonderful as we develop our lives for Him. It's the trick of the enemy that exposes us for our major weaknesses. Satan himself is designed to breed that conflict with one another, to say that this person is right just because they're right, not that there's any biblical principle put behind it. The community of believers should prevail. We're not in a perfect world. As a matter of fact, we're in a fallen world, but it's the decisions that we make to determine what's up and what's down. If we keep our eyes on the sparrow, keep our philosophies geared towards his will, I'm sure that everyone will agree there will be less hectic behavior. The Beatitudes of the Bible should prevail. It talks about long-suffering. It doesn't say that you have to expose everyone's flaws because we all come with them. The Bible itself says we're all filthy rags, so none of us are going to come out crystal clean, but we can come out crystal clean through Him. Now, let's not get that mixed up. Within Him, we can be perfect. Within ourselves, we will stay faulty. Bible studies are supposed to add clarity, to reason with one another, to learn how to love one another in the best possible way, to believe that because Christ died for us, that there's a chance that we all have to follow Him. As we submit to His will be done. And those conflicts that we have will go away. it breeds the clarity that I spoke of. It makes it crystal clear. And if you can put yourself aside and put his principles in front of you, you learn to have the best possible protection, the armor that you wear. People are going to disappoint you. But how far do they get to go if you're in the will of God? Community, ladies and gentlemen, that's the direction. That solidifies who we are and what we're going to be. Community, working together as a community of believers that understand that we may not all agree on the same subject matter, but we don't have to be disagreeable. Sometimes you have to go down the road of life in order to see that. That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. Because if you pray to that Holy Spirit, it gives you an eternal guide where God can use his mighty power to guide your heart and your mind. You should not be siding with past tradition. Tradition has a place, but it's not permanent. We have to grow, and as we grow, we prosper. We're going to take a moment to have a musical selection to give credit and credence to where we're going and what we're talking about.
Call them, he's down, but can't get enough.
is the accumulation of gratitude, just saying thank you. Thank you for being a part of the bigger picture. That's the message here at my Father's table. Being thankful of gratitude and honoring one another as we all strive to get to His kingdom. Each one of us should be lifting a hand, a community of believers, the things that the Bible calls us to do, setting yourself aside and doing the work of God. And as we hold each other's hand, pulling us up together to honor His will. This has been another Bible study from At My Father's Table with Pastor Kevin T. Scott. Our host was At My Father's Table, and the broadcast is done on KingScottRadioTV.com.